Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Live from the beautiful SNY studios, Evan and Tiki on the road. We are joined by a guy, and I was thinking about this. Sean and I were talking about this. Another professional athlete who is playing in New York City in the World Series at the time that Tiki was a professional athlete in New York City getting ready to go to a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Mets are in the World Series in October. Giants are in the Super Bowl a few months later. You see this man on SNY, Todd Zeal. Todd, how are you, sir?
It's good to be here. Did you get out to any ball games? You remember that time? That was good old days, right?
It was the good old days. I threw out a pitch. I think it was after the. I think it was 2 years after that.
Is that right?
Yeah, first pitch out at Shea. So
well, New York was buzzing that time,
right?
And I told these guys this before, while you guys were at your break, but just wanted to reiterate that the last time I really paid a lot of attention to football, I was like 12 watching the Rams in Los Angeles before they even left and came back. So. I marvel at what you guys do and what you guys can reel off about all different kinds of things. But if you come to me on that, I might glaze over.
No, we won't. I marvel at the fact that you're almost 60 and you look amazing.
Thank you, man.
Serious.
You're almost 60?
I turned 59 last
you
week.
Look
yeah.
You look
good. There's no wrinkles.
Yeah.
He looks better than me. I'm 30.
I stay in the sun a lot. 60. Stay in the sun. Try to get in that sun, right?
That's crazy. Anyway. Well, good for you, man. Do you know that last night at Citi Field, I was in the building for the great Met victory. You were the answer to a trivia question. Are you aware of this?
I'm usually the answer on the Immaculate Grid somewhere. 11 teams in all those years, you can plug me in one of those places. But
that's
no,
great.
I didn't know what was the question.
I think the question was which guy hit a home run with like 11 different teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anything that involves a lot of different teams, a good chance you can throw me in that.
And they tried to bring you in because, and I tried to, I didn't remember this. Like, I think I could name maybe 80% of the teams you were on. Like, I remember the Dodgers, the Marlins, the Mets, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Texas Rangers, the Baltimore Orioles. I think you were a Yankee for a
minute. That's way ahead of most people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I was a Yankee for a minute. Yeah.
You were a Yankee for a minute. I try to forget that. But
me too.
That's right. But then
that's a different. Nothing against the organization. Just not a great year in my years.
What year was that? 2003. Okay, because 4 was your last year when you came back to the Mets.
He was an Expo the same year.
Well, that's the thing.
I was indeed.
They said you're an Expo, and I'm thinking to myself, Todd Zeal was not an Expo.
Yeah, I
couldn't remember that one.
I went from being a Yankee in their kind of push to get to the postseason to being in Montreal, which, by the way, we played our last 25 home games in Puerto Rico that year. So that was an interesting
bizarre
year in and of itself.
But, I don't remember that.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that also qualifies me as a national on the Immaculate Grid, so I get an extra bonus for that.
Bingo.
Well.
That is true. The state of this team right now, we're marveling at the starting pitching because I think coming into the year, the hope was they can hold up, they can be average, and maybe they'll score enough runs and the bullpen will be good enough. To me, it is stunning that over the last month, this has been the best rotation in baseball. What's your thoughts on
that? It's a little stunning to me, too. I think we did, took a look at it overall last night, especially. And you looked at the faces of the starting five, And, you know, you had Senga that you thought was going to be a guy at the top of the rotation coming into spring training. That was quickly, put on the back burner. And these other five guys have pretty much, David Peterson had to start a little late because of the hip. But, you know, you've got with Manaea, Quintana, and Severino, those three guys have been out there every 5 days. And the thing that I've marveled at is the fact that they've seemed to reinvent themselves during the year. And when I say, they're not completely different than the guys they were, but this is the most fastball heavy, fastball dominant rotation in all of baseball. And without guys that are throwing 100, right? You've got guys that have figured out how to get to early contact, use their fastball effectively, and get deeper into games. And it's something that you didn't see out of them early on. So I love the adjustments they made. I think you got to give some credit to Jeremy Hefner and, and those guys.
Well, two questions. One about Senga, which I'll get to in a second. But how hard is that to do? Like, reinvent yourself in the middle of a season, as you were just alluding to. It seems like it would be very difficult.
I do, too. I think that's why I marvel so much at Sean Manaea, because he's like, hey, Chris Sale, that looks like a pretty cool way to throw. I'm going to do that. And then he's in an unhittable sense, right? I mean, he's already a guy that crossfired, but he saw something in Sale, made an adjustment, worked with Jeremy, and now he throws 70% fastballs up in the strike zone, and nobody can hit it. So I think it's been interesting. We've been fascinated watching it, and you're holding your breath thinking, okay, is this just a run that they're on? Are guys going to make adjustments back? And so far, they haven't been able to do it.
So you mentioned Kodai Senga, and we know that he's likely out for the entire rest of the regular season, but there's this like little inkling of hope that he could come back. The realistic like prognosis on that happening is what?
I think we'll find out a little bit more about that today, because he threw a bullpen yesterday, and today is the day that they're going to say, hey, it went well, or he feels good today, or whatever. And look, he's an interesting guy, I think, just personally, because I've never seen a guy that's on the IL, and instead of asking the training staff and the pitching staff and the manager, you know, when's this guy going to be back, they all look at each other and go, when he says he's going to be back. Because he's like, my mechanics aren't right. My arm feels great. My mechanics aren't right. I'll come back when my mechanics feel good. And so I think you got to rely on him to hear what he says.
If he does come back, and I love Kodai Senga. Like, he was so impressive last year. The 30 seconds he's pitched this year was very impressive against Atlanta.
It was.
But if he's able to come back, how would you deploy him? It sounds like they would use him as a starter, but if he's only capable of going an inning or two, do you think that could negatively affect whether it's McGill or Quintana following him in a role that they're not very familiar with, being that bulk pitcher, if you
will? Well, I mean, you do also have the option of having him go as an opener, a sense, and somebody like Buddo coming in behind him and utilizing the 6 days or the six guys in that rotation, because they've all seemed to benefit a little bit from the extra day's rest. McGill is a perfect example. Again, yesterday he had an extra day's rest. He looked really great. He's been sharp. David and Severino and those guys at the end of the year can use that extra. So I don't necessarily think it would be him opening and then having one of the other guys piggyback on top of him. I think they'd be better to use the extra pitcher that they have right now and have him lead off a game and maybe somebody like Buddo following up.
Do you think... and we're talking to Todd Zeal. We're live here in the SNY studios. Pete Alonso's had a very kind of blah year. Like, his numbers are okay, but it's not been the year we've expected. Do you think he's pressing?
I think he has. I think he has pressed along the way. And I think the biggest indicator of that to me is that how much I've watched him and analyzed his swing and his swing decisions and some of the things that he's done from the day he got here that have changed this year. He's had a lot less success with men in scoring position. He's usually been a guy that takes good at-bats, that shrinks the zone a little bit in those situations. He's chased a lot more this year. And I think earlier on, the team was, as a whole, kind of struggling to find offense. And so I think he felt like he had to put it on his back and got into some bad habits. It was good to see what he did last night. And I think that I'd be lying if I didn't think that the contract, all the talks going into the spring and all of the stuff playing out, you know, I mean, you can't just eliminate it from your mind, even if you say,
right.
I'm going to go out and concentrate on what I can do. You just can't eliminate it completely.
I think it becomes part of the conversation around you, even if you're not necessarily talking about it yourself.
You
somebody else is talking about it, or you hear it, or your sibling, or brother, or agent, or whatever. It always comes up. So it's never going to be just focus on baseball. It doesn't work that way.
You know what happens a lot, and maybe as an athlete you're going to hear this and say, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. Or maybe you'll actually say it makes sense. One of the biggest criticisms Pete gets, this is a criticism A-Rod used to get back in the day. I don't think you ever faced this criticism, which is, yeah, hit a home run. It was 6-1. Who cares? It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Every home run means something. Even if it just statistically makes you feel better about yourself. I mean, honestly.
Well,
we could be, for instance, there was a bunch of games. The Wellington Mariners game, playing the Commanders, well, then Redskins. We're destroying them. Destroying them. I have a 59-yard run. Tell me, trust me, it felt good. I'm telling you, it looked good in the stats. So they all matter.
Do they all matter?
They matter. I understand what you're talking about, and I can see both sides. But I was a guy that I have to be honest. I gave up at bats, and looking back, I think I could have done a better job.
Because of the
score? When the games were lopsided.
Really? Uh-huh.
And I feel like I didn't put as much emphasis on it. I didn't concentrate as much in those at-bats that I thought were less meaningful.
Yeah.
And I focused a lot more when they were meaningful. So do they all matter? I mean...
Was that preservation? You know what I mean? Because baseball is so long. A season
is
so long. You're like, all right, this game's over.
It's a grind.
I do not need to get myself physically, mentally dialed in. It's a waste of, functional energy.
I think there was more of the mental issue with me.
Yeah.
Is that I felt, I played every day that I could, and I played a lot of games in a row, and so I was going to be out there until the game was over, but I definitely feel, and it's a criticism myself, because Joe Torre worked with me, and he tried to pound that into me as a young player, don't ever give up an at-bat.
Yeah.
So I respect the guys that find ways when the other team's down, and they've got a guy that they're going to let wear it, that they find a way to get something out of it, because at the end of the day, it all, they look at that back of the baseball card.
But
Pete hit one against Cody Clemens the other day, right?
Right.
I guarantee he'll take that three ribbies, three ribbies.
But
too,
but I bet it's also one of those things where the fan or even the cynic, as you were talking about, Evan. No, that was an easy one. It's not easy though. It's still hard.
You still got a major league pitcher out there trying
exactly.
to get
most
of the
easier.
Time. Major league pitcher.
Yeah, not Cody Clemens, for the most part.
But Tyrone Taylor's got a grand slam against Luis Guillorme this year. So, I mean, but I guarantee you that all he cares about is that thing that says GS on the back of the car.
I think we make a big deal sometimes about, locker room conversations. Oh, well, they had a team meeting and this came out of it. This one felt weird earlier this week.
Yeah.
Because it was David Stearns.
Yeah.
It wasn't Francisco Lindor saying, guys, let's get together. Let's do it for one another. Let's have an accountability. This is like this is the president of baseball operations calling a meeting. I mean, that seems odd. How odd is that?
It seemed odd to me because I didn't know what exactly the context was, and nor should I necessarily know what the context was if they have a closed-door meeting. I thought what was interesting is that a report came out of it that Pete wanted to speak and did speak. And then when Pete was asked about it last night, he's like, how did you know? Well, a report came out. I was wondering where that came from, but apparently Pete expressed that, hey, you know what? I want to try to lead this team. I want to, get to the postseason here. And the implication being that he may not, this may be the last opportunity for him. But I thought it was a little bit unusual. I'd never really heard of that. And I didn't really understand exactly why it was called. They obviously had some information they wanted to pass on to the guys. But
well, I think it's concerning Met fans, honestly. I think that hearing that, because we heard it late in the show yesterday, was like, do they know more about Lindor than maybe they're letting on? And they want to fire the team up and say, hey, listen, it's not good. I don't know what that means.
Well,
not good.
Backs are backs.
Well, backs are bad, though.
Of course they are bad. I'm just saying backs are backs.
Right.
They're completely unpredictable.
Absolutely. So maybe it's like setting them up for the worst, but they really don't know. Mm-hmm. So that was the fear I had upon hearing that. Like, do they know more than that? But how often, if ever? Like, did Steve Phillips ever come down and run a team meeting?
No, not really team meeting. I can never really remember that from a GM. I mean, you get once in a while, you'll get an owner or somebody that'll come in and have something to say to the guys. Usually it's more inspirational kind of stuff leading into postseason or something like
did
that.
Did Jeff Wilpon ever do that?
Jeff never did that I can remember. The last one I remember was Peter Angelos, who, when I was with Baltimore for a minute.
Oh, boy.
What did
he say?
You know what?
Guys, I really want to make multiple millions off of this franchise.
Yeah, hey,
can you guys
I'm,
just
I
pick
like
it up just a little
right
bit, man?
You know what? Anything that he said would have then been cast in a different light by Cal Ripken, who really kind of ran that clubhouse anyway. So, you know, you don't see it very often, to your point. And maybe you're right. Maybe it was just to kind of set expectations for the guys, because every focus over the last few days was, will he be back? Will he not? And as you said, a back is a back.
Right.
You may wake up feeling great. You may take one swing or run or step one way, and all of a sudden it locks up on you, it spasms, and you don't really have control of that until it's gone, and it may not be gone.
Yeah, that's the scary part about it. And he's had such a great year. It's why everyone's got to step up. Everybody's got to perform. Last night was a good sign because it feels like, as great as this pitching's been, we talked about it, this offense needs to step up.
Yeah.
JD has done nothing for a while. We've talked about Pete. Pete had a good night last night. Blue pit counts as a line drive. I don't care how hard he hit it. But it feels like the offense is going to need to step up for them to finish the job.
Yeah, I think that all of the guys, and maybe that's what that was about, is that, hey, everybody's got to kind of get back to that place that they were on May 31st when they had the other team meeting and said, hold yourself accountable, hold me accountable, and let's go out and find a way to win. And you've got a guy like Iglesias has been really the heart and soul kind of unsung hero of this team, because he's out there finding ways to compete and keeping guys kind of fired up. And Lindor was that other guy, and when he's out, maybe they try to get something out of the other guys.
I love the 2000 Mets. I want to make this clear before I say what I'm about to say. I love that team, and I love you and everything you contributed. When you hear OMG, does it make you annoyed that you got stuck with Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah, and you know what? One of the most, I mean, aside from everything that happened with 9/11 and all the, which were the most important parts of my career,
without question.
Probably the most significant at bat of my career, aside from Timo Perez, which you would
I'm
like,
not bringing that
but,
up.
But was the bases clearing double against the Cardinals that really kind of sent us to the World Series, right?
Yes.
And the place was absolutely going ballistic, and you could feel the ground shaking. And I watched it the other day because somebody had a clip of it, and I literally covered my ears at second base because they were blasting Who Let the Dogs Out so loud, so loud that it was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, that became synonymous, and we're like, there's been a couple of times in the last couple of years where we're like, let's not let Timmy Trumpet be the Who Let the Dogs Out. Let's not let... Right, because to the guys involved in it, like, it's a cool thing to get caught up in at the time, but it also can, to a seasoned Mets fan, can be like, oh, that was the beginning.
But I don't feel like that's going to be the case with Oh My God, OMG.
Let's take OMG right through to the World Series.
I mean, it's because it's original. It's not something that's repurposed or appropriated in any way. It's just kind of like this is what I feel, and it's
they all
the guy on the team.
They're all behind it.
Of course,
that may be the difference.
Yes,
we didn't really have any say.
Right, you had nothing to do with it.
That was the Baja Man hitting lightning in a bottle at the time.
I'm sure they told you about it, but the year before in 99, like, their rally song was LA Woman, Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I knew nothing about, I still know nothing about music.
Yeah,
and
Mojo Rising and all that, yeah.
I loved it because I knew it was a team thing.
Right.
And so I started, like, I still play that song.
Yeah.
I know nothing, but I love it. And that felt real because it was organic, very similar to OMG. Who Let the Dogs Out was put on you. I feel bad.
Right. That's why I was saying last year, the day that Timmy Trumpet played live in the stadium.
You didn't like that.
We're like, maybe let's do it
this
in game
is,
jumping, the World
jumping
Series.
The shark a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little jump the shark.
Right.
But,
hey,
he's back. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out.
Not Timmy Trumpet, you mean Edwin.
Yeah, Edwin.
All right, and they're playing Timmy Trumpet. He's not performing, though. I've had an idea, and the idea doesn't work without guys like you. So you can very easily say, Evan, this is stupid. Shut up. Never bring it up again.
Wow.
And I'm going to promise you, if you tell me it's stupid, I'll never bring it up again.
Oh, God, that's a lot of pressure.
All right, so here's my idea. I loved Old Timers Day a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure you loved it as well. And I think that we need gimmicks for Old Timers Day. Like, we need rematches. And I always thought for the 25-year anniversary, the 2000 Yankees – versus the 2000 Mets in an old-timers game. Now, I get it. We beat them. We don't get revenge, but it's fun. Like, it's a chance to, you know, have some fun 25 years later. Would you be open to challenging the Yankees to a rematch?
You took the pressure off me right there. That's not a dumb idea at all. It's kind of fun. It's
kind of,
interesting. I don't know. You know, when we put together the old-timers game a couple of years ago, I mean, it was such a huge undertaking that I think the team got, like, knocked back. Like, oh, my God, that was a lot of work. We expected, like, 25 guys, and we got 65 guys. And it was a great, great day, and I think all the guys loved it. The thing that, you know, is going to happen there is that you get guys 25 years past the time, it's going to be an ugly game. You're not going to have the Daniel Murphys and Davids out there to kind of make the young old-timers look
You know why
like
I want the game.
Doing.
Do you know the reason?
No, tell me.
It's not really for revenge because nothing can fix that. I think you know that. I want somebody, and maybe it's you, I want you to do what needed to be done. I want you to take out Roger Clemens.
Yep. Oh, you know what? We could probably set that up right now, and that'd probably be a great pay-per-view event just to have that moment.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll put it together.
Yeah, we could.
The old-timers game rematch. Would you accept that as a Yankee fan, the rematch? Or
yes.
Too much pressure that you may lose?
No. It's actually great as a Yankee fan because if you win, I get to mock you.
See, this is the problem.
Right, because he'll celebrate it for the rest of his life.
Todd, are the Mets going to make the postseason?
I say yes. I'm not going to jump up and down and do the chant because
the Mets are going to the postseason, Todd.
I have a great feeling that the Mets are going to the postseason. I think that that some of the tough work that they had to do was in the rearview mirror now and getting back to where they're starting to feel like they believe that they're going. And so I think they've got
going.
And that's a sensible answer, Todd. It's better than his answer, which is he's scared of ghosts.
Yeah.
He is scared of the Atlanta Braves because of past series. You've played forever. Is that a thing? Does, you know, 2 years ago, does that matter?
I would have said, in 2000 and 2001, when we would play the Braves, there was this feeling that the Braves had at that time that we're going to find a way to beat you guys. Mm-hmm. And it permeated, I think, our soul at times. And
thank you.
Especially in 2001. And because, I mean, 9/11 had happened. We're going down the stretch. We play them in big games.
Blue games, by the way.
And they were
Armando.
You know, yeah, and it was
not going to say anything, but he blew some games.
Whether it was Brian Jordan,
twice.
Like, I mean, those types of moments. So you had those that are, you know, that are tough to get away from as a team, as a feeling. But I feel like the Mets have gotten past that with the Braves. They've played the Braves tough. They've lost a couple of tough games, but they beat them in some tough games. And I don't get any sense of trepidation when they go in there or when the Braves come here.
Be very honest with me about this.
Uh-oh,
and I can handle the truth. If the Atlanta Braves had beaten the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Divisional Series in 2000, and it was Mets Braves in the 2000 NLCS, would you guys have beaten them?
I don't know. I mean, they had our number. They had our number, but they're also not a great playoff baseball team. So they won 13 championships and won one World Series during that time. So it would have been interesting, but you get to the postseason and you feel a little bit differently at times.
You remember, and I'm sure this was weird for you, being at Shea Stadium when we're all watching the scoreboard that the Braves got eliminated and we're doing the tomahawk chop, which we wouldn't do now, but we did it then, celebrating their demise. That's how scared Met fans were. We were rooting for the Cardinals like we were Cardinal fans.
Yeah, I get haunted by the tomahawk chop once in a while. Yeah, that gives me shivers. But you know what? We were also, you know, I guess we asked for our own fate because when we clinched, we went in and watched the Yankees, and we were rooting for the Yankees.
Oh, come on. Wow. Todd.
No, we were. We were rooting for the Yankees.
That's
we
amazing.
Wanted to face the Yankees.
Wow.
More were they playing the Blue Jays or something?
No, they were playing the Mariners.
Yeah, we were rooting for the Yankees.
I cannot believe you.
Yeah, we were all like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to take it to them.
I am so disgusted that you're admitting this to me right
That's
now.
Great.
All of you, like every single one of you.
I'm glad
I
we
mean,
now know.
As a collective, the guys that I remember sitting around watching,
Al Leiter?
We were like, oh, yeah.
Edgardo Alfonso?
I mean, I'm not going to put these poor guys on the hot
seat. Now they're going to get put on blast
years,
on social media.
Later,
it's
right?
Funny you say that, Todd, because you just got done saying the Braves weren't a great postseason team, and we're talking about a team that was coming off back-to-back World Series, and yet you wanted them.
Yeah, we wanted them because we felt like we had some unfinished business, and we had, you know, Yeah, they're.
Are you hurt,
I
Evan?
Mean, you saw what happened during the regular season with in that Subway Series. So we're like, let's get them. Come on, we'll take you guys on. And
yeah, I saw what happened during the regular season. Doc Gooden shut us out at Shea Stadium, and Roger Clemens beamed Piazza in the head. Nobody did a damn thing about it, and we lost.
Yeah, same day, right?
On the same day! You know! Todd, do a great job. We love watching SNY. We appreciate you coming on, man.
Great to see you guys on here. Great to see you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks.
Thank you. The great Todd Zia. When we come back, Loogie and Sean will have a debate about Yankee fans wanting or not wanting to face the Houston Astros. Plus, we'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of Yankees, a lot of Mets. 888-808-1019. We are live from SNY.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan, live from SNY. Yesterday, we all made predictions on when we think Francisco Lindor is going to return from his back issue. Tiki Barber is the first person eliminated because he made the prediction that he was actually going to come back tonight.
Today. And he was running around today.
He was running around in the outfield.
So he is back, just not back.
He's not back! He's running!
Did he have his uniform on, Sean?
No, pants.
Oh, never mind.
I said this
yesterday.
Try to
claim victory from defeat.
No, there's no victory. He's not in the lineup. But I said this yesterday about it. If the Mets keep winning, and they won last night, and hopefully they win tonight, complete the sweep against the Nationals, and maybe they continue to get some help, I think it takes the pressure off on how quickly Lindor even needs to come back. Because I think the priority is the Atlanta series. The priority are those three games head-to-head with the Atlanta Braves. But real quick, the Met lineup does have a couple of differences. J.D. Martinez is not playing. He's been in a massive slump. So it's Iglesias, Marte, Nimmo, Alonso, Tyrone Taylor, who's got to continue playing, Mark Vientos, Francisco Alvarez, Harrison Bader, and Luis Angel Acuna. So it's basically the same lineup as yesterday, except Brandon Nimmo is in and J.D. Martinez is out. More on that game coming up a little bit later on. But yesterday, there was kind of the beginnings of a very heated debate between Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer. And sometimes when they're about to fight with each other, we call a timeout and we say we're going to make this official. We're going to have a formal debate where we will declare a winner. We call it the Lugash Debate Series. So far, there have been three such occasions. Sean has been the victor in two of them. Lugie the victor in one of them. Today, we finish what we started yesterday. Sean Morash claims he is not afraid of the Houston Astros, nor are Yankee fans. They want the Houston Astros. Tommy Lugauer claims that Sean Morash is basically a liar and that he is pretending to be tough, but truthfully, he is scared of the Houston Astros. So a coin has been flipped. We have determined that Sean will actually go first, and he will get 1 minute to state his case. Loogie will get a minute to state his case, and then they will each have a minute to yell at each other and fight and do whatever they need to do. and then, of course, I'll vote, Tiki will vote. If we're tied, we will have... By the way, Sean has gone over to shake Loogie's hand, and Loogie is refusing to shake his hand. This is very uncomfortable. Usually when someone goes to shake someone's hand, even if they don't see it coming, like a few weeks ago, they're going to shake the hand. Like, there was a handshake.
Loogie's dead-ass serious right now.
Wow.
All right.
See the scowl.
It's a bit extreme, don't you think?
I don't know about you, Tiki. I give like a half a point to Sean on that.
I know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the clock for Sean Morash to state his case begins now.
We don't believe in ghosts with the Yankees and the Yankee fans. These are not the same Astros. In fact, last night when Jose Altuve has to remove his shoe because he has to prove that he's gotten hit by a pitch shows you the Astro magic is over, Loogie. By the way, I saw it on TV. I'm sorry. You could say what you want to say about the Astros and your final boss and all this. We determine who our final boss is. The Yankees are in cruise control for a one seed. By the way, never had home field advantage versus the Astros in those ALCSs of the past. Four starters in this Yankee lineup have never been in a Yankee-Astro series, which is including Juan Soto, which is why these Yankees are different. Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil never started a game in the postseason versus them. You could say all you want about an Astro uniform. We're not scared of uniforms, pal. The Yankee team is different. This Astro team is different. We'll never get to answer for our sins of losing for them. It's a new year, pal, and it's over. Maybe they'll fight like cats and dogs.
Okay. I don't know what that means. But he had 2 seconds to spare, so good job, Sean. We reset the clock. Loogie, you have 1 minute.
I was raised as a middle-class child on Long Island. The Astros completely own your ass. They don't fear you. They don't fear the pinstripes. They don't fear the Bronx. In fact, I was told, Tiki trying to throw me off here, I was told Aaron Judge has a tattoo of Jose Altuve on his right buttocks. They don't care. The Astros, the Yankee fans, they pray to the church. I don't care about the damn cameras. They pray to the church of the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are the champions. Let's go to Aaron Boone now. Most of you Yankee fans wouldn't trust him to go food shopping for you, let alone manage your team. He's a joke. The Yankees are a joke. They have no shot. They are the final boss, they being the Houston Astros. You quiver in fear of Jose Altuve, of Alex Bregman, of Justin Verlander. You fear that. You have no shot. None.
All right. Well, I was very passionate.
Who cares about the damn cameras?
You can obviously rebuttal Sean anytime you'd like.
Loogie, I've talked to Yankee fans and their families. They are not scared of any Astro players coming over to the New York border here at all and trying to play us at this point. Do you even speak to your vice president, Tiki Barber, as he's trying to tell you what camera to look in?
Oh, calm down. First of all, if this is coming from a Net fan, you've ruined Brooklyn. This isn't the 90s. This isn't the 90s.
I like that.
This isn't the 90s. You can't just drop the trousers and walk around and show everybody what you're working with. You are not the kings of baseball anymore. You're not. I'm sorry. You know who the king is? The Houston Astros. So if you want to kill the king, good luck. But they are the king, not you. It's not the 90s anymore. Sorry.
Bringing up the Nets in the 90s, that's a bit extreme, isn't it?
I think that you are so scared that you don't even know what to do with yourself. That's fine. And you want to give the old pompous because the Giants are 0-2 and you don't have your sports muscles. You are afraid of the Astros.
I know what this is. The Yankees... ate the dog's terminology.
You know, how many of these is going to use up? I mean, how many of these are going to do? I mean, how many are going to do? When you know your beat, you keep going back to
that. All right, enough. We have heard enough. Tiki and I will now determine who we think won this debate.
Yes.
We keep score around here. Currently, all time, it is 2 for Sean, 1 for Loogie. Tiki, I'll let you go first. Who won that?
Well, Sean was very composed and deliberate with his dad joke argument. For the Yankees not being scared. But I got to tell you, despite not agreeing with the content, Loogie was impassioned, and he gave some valid points. After I got his head right, it got even better. And so I think, Loogie, you won this one with me.
Wow. A victory from Tiki. I got to tell you, I think there are people that think, you know, it's kind of like professional wrestling, that you always want it to come down to the final game. Like, you always want there to be a game seven. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not how it operates. I think Tommy Lugauer absolutely destroyed Sean Morash. It's not even close. I'm going to be universal with you and agree that Lugi won this thing. So let's just officially get that out of the way. It is now 2-2. I think that what I noticed, and forget the content, because it really has nothing to do with
it. That's right. That's why I voted for it.
I sensed Sean being scared, like, the entire time. Because, I'll tell you what, because when you're scared, you deflect. And while I think a lot of us appreciated your attempts at humor, your attempts at trying to make references to other debates, like, I appreciate that. But that just showed us and showed me, you're scared. Like, you really don't have much to say to defend yourself, because you know the Astros are your final boss. You know what they've done to you. And look, no one's saying you can't beat them, but you're scared of it. You really are. And I think for those 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes combined, I think that was completely exposed by Tommy. I think you did great work. The content has nothing to do with it. I think Tommy showed he believes what he's saying. Mm-hmm. You were trying to convince yourself you believe what you're saying. I think he destroyed you.
I respect your guys' choices in the Lugash debate series, and Tommy can have his little win on the whiteboard. I opted there for pure humor in redoing debate topics from this standpoint, because it's such a ridiculous debate, because out of all of us, I'm the most diehard Yankee fan, and I don't fear them. So I'm not going to let Lugie or you, with your little Met fan thing, try to tell me how I should feel. In fact, last night when I nestled my head on my beautiful little pillow and had two kids climb in because they can't stay in their own damn beds right now, do you know what I said to myself when I looked at that MLB bracket? Maybe the 2-seed would be better, because I want to avoid the Royals more than I want to avoid the Astros. So just to show you how factual I am, they are so far down the pecking order for a team I care about, led by Joe Espada. I'm over it, dude. You guys can have fun, and you could give Lugi the win. We'll write it on the little board. But you Met fans continue to try to push a narrative that doesn't exist.
You know, I heard the same exact little routine you did there, except instead of the Astros, you had, is it the Florida Panthers? The Florida Panthers. And just like always, you could set your watch to it. Camera number one, the Rangers went out quietly into the night, just like they always do. And by the way, they will this year as well. And the Yankees will when they face the Astros.
Yeah,
camera number one.
Yes, good job finding the camera.
That was good content.
I've learned a lot about you over the last year and a half. I think it's been a year and a half, a year and a few months, whatever it is. Year and a few months, you want to get literal?
July, August, September.
A little over
September.
A year.
Yeah.
And what I've learned about you.
15 months.
Yeah, it was sometime in July.
Yes.
What I've learned about you, Sean, is that while you get very passionate and you will rip your team, as you did on Monday, you wore a paper bag over your head killing the Giants, you are very quick, as a fan, to go from negativity to, I found the positive. I'm good to go. And so you give us what you want. Like, when things go bad, you're gonna lose it. But within 24 hours, you recover, which a lot of us don't do. And maybe that's mentally healthy for you, by the way. Maybe that's better than the way I am,
by the way,
and the way others are.
That's an athlete mentality.
It
is. I give you credit, because that's what an athlete has to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
With all due respect, I'm the second athlete on this team.
Okay. You probably have us there.
Mr. Flag Football. So I think that you've pivoted very quickly to your false confidence. And I think when we get to that moment, and we are going to get to that moment, as I've said all year to you, and you've gone back and forth, beaving and weaving, the New York Yankees
and weaving.
Were always going to win the American League East.
Yeah, that's
you
not
can
a real,
quote
that's,
me on
that's
that.
That's not a real saying.
Yeah.
Beaving
it's,
and
it's
weaving.
It's bobbing and weaving.
You know what I meant. So it counts. But I have been steadfast since March. They will win the American League East. Sometimes it's challenging because things are going badly. They will win the American League East. And the other thing I said that's steadfast is you're going to see them. Y'all wanted to bury them in April. You wanted to bury them in May. You will see them.
I don't think
you will have to face them.
I don't think Yankee fans were burying the Astros from a Major League Baseball standpoint.
Right.
They were burying from a they are our nemesis standpoint.
Right.
No,
it was very apparent.
That's what they were burying.
And this is where you lose touch with the reality. I mean, this is a serious part of it. You could tell me April and May doesn't matter. The point is, we saw that the new look Yankees, which is we'll see if they're good enough to win a World Series, and what this new version of the Astros is under Joe Espada, that rivalry or like that fear. Or that you got us, it's over.
Because
it's
of over. Games in March?
And May?
Come on.
Yes. And because of the rosters, because Unlike you, when you, the Braves are coming, we don't believe in no ghosts. And the ghosts of facing an Astro uniform are so far and above dead. If the Yankees play the Astros, great.
Sean,
nobody's going to line up at that and go, oh my God, oh my God.
And nor is it going to feel like they own you.
Right. And okay. if the Astros beat them, it ain't going to be again.
For all the previous seasons that this issue became, or this matchup became an issue for the Yankee fans, it felt like the Astros owned them. It doesn't feel that way anymore. If you're not a Yankee fan, which neither one of you are, you don't understand that. Like you don't get why it's now gone.
Because they're not getting what they wanted. And what they wanted with 2 weeks left in September, I know how these two operate, and I know how Met fans operate. They wanted their solace of going, you know what, no matter what happens with the Mets, the Yankees still have to answer for the sins of the Astros.
And by the way,
they're not getting Yankee fans going. They thought they were going to get Yankee fans in September going, oh my God, we're still going to get through the Astros. It doesn't exist now.
And Evan, here's the thing. They may lose to the Houston Astros.
Sure.
But they're not. I don't think the Yankee fan is fearing losing to the Astros
right.
anymore. They may lose,
okay,
but they don't fear it like they used
if,
to.
And if we do, we won't look at it as another log on that fire.
You're dead wrong about that. That is.
I'm
probably,
dead wrong. I'm the Yankee fan, not you.
Okay. First of all, you don't represent every Yankee fan.
Yes, I do.
And one thing I get a feel for is I think sometimes I have a better feel for the Yankee fan than even you do.
You don't.
I really do.
You don't.
The idea that if the Yankees lose to the Astros in the ALCS or the ALDS, you and most Yankee fans would act as if it was just a series loss to a good team is insane. It would absolutely be a log on the fire.
I wouldn't.
And that is in fact, I'm so confident that you're going to flip-flop on this. If the Astros beat the Yankees, you will come here crying with 17 and 19 and 22 on your mind. Because to quote the great Joe Beningo, you can change the manager twice. You can change the roster. You can change the uniforms. It's the same story. Go ahead.
And I wanted to mention this in the debate series, so I'll just use the extra time now here. While most of us are pumpkin picking in October, Aaron Judge is on a milk carton. So he has to step up and show me that he could act, because he gets away with everything. No one criticizes him, so I'll do it. He doesn't get the big hits in October. And who's starting game one against the Astros? What am I putting up right now in front of me here? Garrett Cole, the four fingers. And I defended him, but he's got to show he has the guts to get somebody out in a big spot.
By the way, speaking of which, and I know you're going to take this as an insult, I think we should start calling Garrett Cole Four Fingers. That should be his new nickname.
Why?
Four Fingers.
Because he walked a guy?
Long time ago.
Want to make a deal?
Okay, but I was going to say, long time ago, there was a pitcher named Three Fingers Brown.
Uh-huh.
So this is like we're going back to 100 years ago.
Did Mordecai. He literally have three fingers?
I think so, yeah. Three Fingers Mordecai Brown. So I believe that we should start a brand new nickname. Zaluki loves this.
No, I do too.
Four
shake
Fingers.
On shake on it.
What do you want me to shake on?
Shake my hand.
On what?
Shake my hand.
On what?
We will agree to call Garrett Cole Four Fingers.
If?
We don't agree to call Edwin Diaz Sticky Fingers.
I think I may make that trade. I think I would accept that. You know what? I know you're probably going to frown upon this. Deal.
Deal.
You can call Edwin Diaz Sticky Fingers all you want.
We're fair and balanced here.
I mean, by the way, Garrett Cole could be called Sticky Fingers too. I mean, he's the one who basically invented it.
He did not have an index finger.
Are you looking at Mordecai Brown?
Mordecai Brown. Three-finger Mordecai. Mordecai Brown.
Did you think I made that up?
No, I knew you did, but he's actually got... I mean, I guess the thumb is not really a finger.
He didn't have an index finger?
That's right.
You know how much easier that makes it to give a middle finger?
Who had on their bingo card Mordecai Brown getting a reference
there? There is no middle finger if there is no ring finger.
It's a great point by Tiki. Let's go to Ozzie and Woodridge. How you doing, Ozzie?
It's fitting that the Lou Gehrig debate series starts with the flip of a coin, because the flip-flopper flip-flops more than that coin does in the air.
He's talking about you, Sean.
I'm a flip-flopper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
And since today started with hard-hitting, insinuating questions, I have one for the entire distinguished panel.
Go ahead.
Let's hear it.
And each of you can answer separately. Are any of you on Ozempic at the current moment or in the last month or so?
That's your question.
We want to talk about drug use.
That would not be me.
Come on.
I don't think it's Evan.
Thank you, Ozzy. Let's go around the room.
I'm pretty sure Lugie is just naturally this way.
Yeah, I've never been on Ozempic. I'm on a drug that I bought from Mexico that allows me to not choke on, like, red meat. So,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about
Oh, that's
this.
That black
Evan. Orange. Evan had to go south of the border to find something so he didn't choke on meat.
Yeah.
FDA approved, I'm sure.
It's not FDA approved, which is part of the problem, but I did go to Mexico, went to a drugstore, and I no longer choke on meat because of
Give
this
me the
beautiful
meat.
Pill.
I want the meat.
That I bought in Mexico. Other than that, I'm on nothing, so no Ozempic for me. Go ahead, Lugie.
I am a lean cuisine. I am on nothing.
Go ahead, Sean.
None of anybody's business how I lost the size.
And I work my ass off like every red-butted man should.
Oh, this is going to get personal.
Oh, hold on. If you take Ozempic, you still have to work hard to lose the weight.
Yeah, just don't eat as much.
It can help you not eat as much.
Fat. Boy, I got to give Ozzy credit. He knew what he was doing,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Did.
He knew exactly what he was doing. Good job. I'm not judging you for being on Ozempic. I know nothing about Ozempic.
I didn't say I was. Ozzy was asking questions.
I think the world knows the answer to that question now.
Just like the beginning of our show, we don't have an answer.
That's right. Sean opened the show at 2 o'clock, rewind on the Odyssey app.
You know what?
Asking questions.
We haven't answered a single question yet in 4 hours.
What camera am I supposed to look at? Five? Four? Five?
Five, yeah.
Three.
Ozzy, pre-diabetes is a problem in this country, and some of us are pre-diabetic, and respect that and the medications that exist for those.
Okay.
Wow, getting serious all of a sudden.
By the way, Evan, I love your shirt. Did you get a cup of soup with that? I mean, jeez.
What's wrong with my shirt?
I mean, it's not great. It's not
I look
great.
Like a waiter? Is that what you're saying?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.